Из Кашу повесла. And we were discussing Tuesday morning, the Sefer that the Rebbe spoke in the year of Tashin and Beis, Parshas Vayishlach. And the Rebbe spoke then about the significance of the fact that the Yom Tovim of Chanukah and Yitzhak Tzitzit come out in the second half of the month. Traditionally, all the Yom Tovim come out on the 15th of the month, at least the Yom Tov Pesach and Sukkot. Come out on the 15th of the month, which is when the moon is at its fullest. Even the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which although it doesn't, it's not set to a certain date, nowadays it always comes out on the 6th day of Sivan because we have a calendar that's preset. But in the old days when they used to actually decide the new months based on the sighting of the new moon, so it was 50 days from Pesach, Shavuos always is the 50th day from Pesach, and sometimes if the months of Nisan and Iyar both only had 29 days, because the sighting of the moon was on the 30th both times, so then it would come out on the 5th day of Sivan Shavuot. If only one was 29, one was 30, then it would come out on the 6th. If both were 30, it would come out on the 7th of Sivan. So Shavuot doesn't actually have an exact set date, but still it comes out in the first day of the month when the moon is in the process of growth. And even in the Yom Tovim that were ordained by the prophets, which are not in our Torah, but we find that the Purim is also celebrated on the 14th or the 15th. Only the Yom Tovim of Chanukah and Yitzchak Tzitzit as well, we find that they come out in the second half of the month. So whatever explained, just reviewing up to the point that we're holding now, the Rebbe explained that the process in which the moon appears to be getting smaller and smaller, actually the Rebbe explains that the way that works is that as the moon, when we see more light from the moon is when the moon is further from the sun. When the moon gets further from the sun, then we see more light on Earth. When the moon gets closer to the sun, its light is getting closer and closer to the sun, its light is getting lesser and lesser. We see less and less of the light because it's busy absorbing new light from the sun, and therefore we see less and less. So that explains the significance of this process, that the truth is that when we talk about the full moon, we're only talking about it being in a full and complete state relative to the situation where it had no light at all, because the moon has to receive its light from the sun. So when we talk about the light of the moon growing and reaching its fullness, it means that it reaches the fullest capacity of the light that it can give off from the sun. But the truth is, that's not the ultimate complete state of the moon. The ultimate complete state of the moon is the way the moon was originally created, and which is that says that Hashem created on the fourth day of creation, He created two luminaries of equal power. And it says that the Levanus complained and said, how is it possible that two kings should share one crown? So it says that Hashem said to the Levanus, go and diminish yourself, make yourself smaller. And because of that, the situation is that, hey, the sun is actually small, the moon is actually smaller in size than the sun, and also it does not have its own light. It receives whatever light it gives is what it receives from the sun. So the ultimate fullness of the moon, and we also have the prophecy, which says that in the future time, after Mashiach comes, that the light of the moon will be equal to the light of the sun, means that one day it will return to its original state of being equal to the sun. So the truth is, when we talk about a full moon, it's full only relative to its current state, in which it's a makabel from the sun, which is the mashpia. The sun is that which is giving, and the moon is that which is receiving. But the ultimate is that the moon is also one day supposed to reach a state where it's completely on the same level as the Mashpia, to the point that it itself is a Mashpia equal to the sun. So the Rebbe explains that this process in which the moon is, in the second half of the month, the moon is coming closer to the sun. What it means, the significance of that is, it's coming closer to the sun and therefore we see less light. So the Rebbe explains the significance of that is that this that we look at light as revelation. The reason why we consider light a revelation is because the source of the light is too great for us to be revealed to us. It's too removed. The source of the light is hidden from us. But the source of the light is infinite. So what we call light is only what's revealed to us. So from our perspective, light is that which we can perceive. Darkness is that which is beyond our perception. But the truth is that the source of the light, it's only dark relative to us. From the perspective of the source of the light, the exact opposite is true. What we call light is relative to its source is darkness. The source is infinite, and whatever we call light is finite revelation. So relative to the source, what we call light is actually darkness. From our perspective, revelation is light. Finite revelation is light. Infinity is darkness, because it's beyond anything we can comprehend. From the aspect of the essence, the source of all light, it's the other way around. What we call light is darkness. So what happens? So the Rebbe says, like, when the recipient of the light gets closer and closer to the source of the light, when the recipient of the light gets closer and closer to the source of the light, to the point that they actually become one, then the recipient is seeing reality from the same perspective as the source. In other words, from the recipient's perspective, it's also what we call light is actually darkness, and the source is revealed to the recipient. Before the recipient could not, the source was concealed, and the recipient can only receive light. The Mekabel only receives light. And being a source of light is something that's removed from the recipient, something that's removed from the moon. But when there is a unification between the Mekabel and the Mashpia, and the Mekabel is actually on the same level as the Mashpia, and perceives reality from the perspective of the Mashpia, from the perspective of the source of the light, light is darkness, and the source is the ultimate revelation. So the Rebbe says it comes out, what's happening in the second half of the month? Why are we seeing less and less light? Because the moon is coming closer and closer to the sun, meaning that the moon is in the process of becoming unified with the sun, that the Mekabel and Mashpia are drawing closer and closer. So what's actually happening is we're seeing less light, but the moon, the Mekabel, is coming closer and closer to the source of the light, to the point that it's unified with the source of the light. So what's happening is that the source is becoming more revealed. The light itself is becoming diminished. The source is becoming more revealed. Now the truth is that when we look at the moon, we don't see that through this process in the second half of the month, the source of the light is becoming more revealed while the reflected light of the moon is becoming less. But the Rebbe says where this is actually happening, where this can actually be perceived, is within the Jewish people. The Jewish people that are compared to them, in the future, we will actually see that the moon is on the same level as the sun. That's not going to happen. That the physical moon is on the same level as the physical sun, that is not going to actually happen until after Yemei HaMashiach, when we will have the fulfillment of the prophecy that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. But this process is actually transpiring within the Jewish people who are compared to the moon. That within the Jewish people, that in the second half of the month, okay, once we pass the first half of the month, in the second half of the month, even as it appears that, you know, if there's less light, that means spiritually also, that even in times when it appears that the Jewish people are going through a spiritual darkness, what's actually happening is that the source of the light, that as we experience spiritual darkness, God himself, who is the source of the light, is becoming more revealed to us and more accessible to us. So we find, for instance, in the history of the Jewish people, that in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was the 15th generation from Avraham Avinu, and that is compared, the Zohar says that that is the time, the Chazal tell us that that is the time when the moon was full. The 15th generation, the Jewish people were at their high point, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? After that, the rest of Jewish history is compared to the second half of the month. The second half of the month, the light is getting less and less. At that time, we had the revelations, in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we had the revelations of the Beis HaMikdash, the tremendous revelations, the tremendous miracles that took place in the first Beis HaMikdash. After that, it's been all downhill. But the Rebbe says what's actually happening is that as the light, as spiritual revelation gets less and less, the source of all revelation is becoming more and more revealed and more accessible. In other words, we're getting, as there are less and less manifestations of godliness in the world, that we're getting closer and closer to God himself. God himself is becoming more revealed. So that's the significance of the holidays of Yud Tes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, and the holiday of Hanukkah coming out in the second half of the month. Besides the fact that they fall out in the second half of the month, also they were events that took place in the darkest times of Jewish history. In fact, the exile which we experienced at the time of the miracle of Hanukkah. We were under the Greeks, and the Greeks, our sages tell us that this that it says at the beginning of creation, that the earth was it was chaotic and empty, and there was darkness over the Hive, which there must be a word for it in English, so it says that each one of these four things corresponds to one of the exiles, and darkness, the exile under the Greeks is called darkness. So in the darkest times of Jewish history, when we were under the Greeks, and similarly later, in the time when Hasidus was revealed and the Alderebbe came to the world, these were very dark times in Jewish history, and yet, what happened was that we had the revelations and the miracles of Hanukkah and Yud Tes Kislev, because these express the fact that even as we are going deeper and deeper into a spiritual darkness, but that doesn't mean that God is getting further from us. What it's actually an expression of the fact is that we're getting closer to God himself, who is the source of all spirituality, the source of all life. And that is why we see less revelation in terms of spirituality, because what we're getting is greater revelation in terms of the source of all spirituality, the source of all life. We're getting closer to God himself. And this is particularly expressed in the holiday of Yud Tes Kislev, in which the revelation of the teachings of Hasidus are associated with the 19th of Kislev in particular, because at that time, as you say, that the spreading of the wellsprings outward really began. So the revelations of the teachings of Hasidus are the beginning of the revelation of the teachings of Mashiach, because these are the teachings of Mashiach, and this is the beginning of that revelation. And therefore, and those teachings, in other words, that this is the beginning of the revelation of that which we will experience in the times of Mashiach, which is the revelation of God himself, and all spiritual revelations that will derive from that are only secondary to the actual source, which is the revelation of God himself. So the Rebbe associate says that this concept is actually related to the two portions of the Torah which Yud Tes Kislev is associated with. In the original time when the event took place, the 19th of Kislev fell out on the third day of the week in the Parsha of Vayeshev, which is following the Parsha of Vayishlach. So between these two Parshas, it's connected to these two Parshas, Vayishlach and Vayeshev, and it always falls out in one of those 2 weeks. The Rebbe says that if you look at the difference between the divine service of Yaakov Avinu, as described in the portions of Toldos and Vayetze, as compared to the divine service of Yaakov as described in the portions of Ayishlach and Vayeshev, we see that according to Hasidus is a very big difference. In the portions of Toldos and Vayetze, so in Toldos, Yaakov has to deal with Esav and try to get the birthright from him and try to get the blessings from him. Yaakov is involved in the process, which in Hasidic terminology we refer to as Avedus HaBirurim. And similarly, we find that in Vayetze he's dealing with Lavan, and he has to get from Lavan whatever he needs to extract from him. This process of Birurim, what we call the process of Birurim, is that Hasidus explains that there was a higher world than, generally when we talk about the four worlds, we talk about the highest world being the world of Atzilus. But the truth is that there was a higher spiritual realm, which is called the world of Tayu, otherwise known as, it translates as chaos, but I don't know if that's an accurate translation, but in the world of Tayu, the world of Torah is a world where we first find the beginnings of lights being invested in vessels. The problem is that they were infinite lights and extremely limited vessels. And in Kabbalistic terminology, what happened was that the shattering of the vessels took place, and sparks and the lights receded back to their source. But sparks from the light, which had been invested in the vessels, fell into the lower worlds. And our job is, the job throughout Jewish history has been, to discover the sparks of godliness, which are contained in all of physical existence. The physicality of each thing conceals the godliness within. The godly spark is hidden within the physical. The way we extract that godly spark, which originates from a higher world, which contains in it a potential for much higher and greater revelation from that which we normally experience, even in the highest of worlds, the way we do that, to tap into that revelation, we have to sift out the sparks from their physical concealment. The way we do that is by taking and using physical objects, and using them, utilizing them in the service of God. By taking and dealing with the physical world and the physical objects, utilizing them in our divine service, we bring out the godly potential in every physical object and existence. And in that way, we tap into which is the godly spark that's in it, the spark from the realm of Tohu. And by extracting that spark, we actually open ourselves up to be able to experience far greater revelation. The truth is that in our individual lives we may not necessarily experience it. So it's often described as it's put away, it's stored away until Mashiach comes, when all of those sparks that we sifted out, all of those sparks that we elevated from the physical world will actually be revealed to us, and we will be able to receive those lights, which are the lights of Tohu, those infinite lights, those infinite transcendent lights, which normally, until now, we were not able to receive. When Mashiach comes, everything that we accomplish through our processing and sifting out the godliness that's in the physical realm will be revealed to us. Now, this is explained that Esav, who represents the forces of evil and darkness, his spiritual origin is in the world of Tohu. Yaakov's spiritual origin, Yaakov is from the world of Tikkun, the world of Atzilus, which is also called Tikkun, which is the world of rectification, meaning that the lights and the vessels were suited to each other, and in the world of Atzilus, in the world of Tikkun, the vessels are capable of containing the light, and therefore there's no problem of the vessels shattering. On the other hand, because the lights have been diminished somewhat, in order that the vessels expanded so that the vessels can take them. Or, in more simple terms, it's a more internalized revelation. It's a more imminent revelation rather than a transcendent revelation, which is what Tohu represents. So Esav's source is in Tohu. Yaakov's source is in Tikkun. And Yaakov has to refine both Esav and Lavan as well. And that is the process that is described in the portions of Tovas, where he deals with getting the birthright and the blessings from Esav, and Lavan, where he deals with getting the daughters and the sheep and so on from Lavan. In the later parshas, in the parsha of Vayishlach and Vayesha, in Vayishlach, David Ever tells us in Torah that why was Yaakov sending these angels to Esav? Why was he sending Esav these gifts? Because Yaakov had already completed his work of Birur. Yaakov had already, after he finished with Esav in Teldus and Lavan in Vayetze, Yaakov was ready for redemption. He had finished whatever he had to accomplish in terms of refining the sparks, and he was ready. So he thought that Esav would be ready too. And therefore he sent these angels, and he sent these gifts to Esav in order to facilitate the unification between himself and Esav, so that now those greater lights, the transcendent godliness that's invested in Esav, would become unified with the imminent internalized aspect of godliness which is invested in Yaakov, and that the two will be united. He discovered that Esav was not yet ready, but that didn't prevent him from continuing on. And in fact, we find that in the next parsha, Vayeshev, it says, Rashi explains the word Vayeshev, Vikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov desired to sit in tranquility. In other words, he had already, again, this is an expression of the fact that he had already completed his struggles with Esav and his struggles with Lavan, and now he wanted to live in tranquility. And in fact, he did, until Yosef was actually taken from him. And then, years later, when he found out that Yosef was still alive, and he went to settle in Mitzrayim, says that he spent the best 17 years of his life in Egypt, because he already achieved that tranquility, and obviously he continues, he already achieved that tranquility all the way up till the actual ultimate redemption, when we will all experience that tranquility. So we find a big difference between what Yaakov is involved with in the Teldus and Vayetze, and what the work that he's involved in the portions of Vayishlach and Vayeshev is his divine service after he has completed the process of Birurim, and he's now trying to accomplish the revelation after he has already sifted out the sparks that he can elevate. Now, as we explained, the next step is that those lights which were stored away should actually be revealed to us, and that is the process which Yaakov was involved with in sending these gifts to Esav and in continuing his divine service in tranquility. So the Rebbe explains that the truth is that only because of the fact that there was this shattering of the vessel and there was the falling of these sparks into the lower realms, that is the reason why we actually have the whole concept of Mashpia and Mekabel. So because of the shattering of the vessels and the investing of these sparks into the physical realm, so therefore there's a process whereby the sphere of Malchus, okay, has to function in the capacity of a Mekabel and lower itself lower than the other spheres in order to be able to descend into the world and sift out and elevate those sparks. In other words, that this whole process, this whole concept of Mashpia and Mekabel is only because, exists only because, or the diminishing of the moon, or the descent of the Jewish people. In fact, we find that Yaakov is called the small one. And it says that Esav was the Gadol, and Yaakov was the Katan. Esav is the older brother, Yaakov. So it says that the small one counts by, we count by the moon. Because it says the small one counts by the small, and the greater one counts by the great, which is the sun. Esav follows the solar calendar, we follow the lunar calendar. In other words, this whole process of the fact that there is a moon, or in its spiritual terms, the sphere of Malchus, has to descend into the lower realms and be on the receiving end of godly revelation from above, rather than itself being a source of godly revelation. The reason why Yaakov is the small one, the reason why the Jewish people descend into exile and seem to be on the receiving end in their relationship with God, is only in order to facilitate this process of elevating and refining out these sparks. Once we finish that process, once that process is finished, then the moon reverts to its original state. The Jewish people claim their true birthright. The sphere of Malchus is elevated. In Kabbalistic terminology, the sphere of Malchus is elevated up into Keser. What happens is this whole process that we find lower aspects of godliness, that godliness seems to have higher aspects and lower aspects, that's only in order to facilitate this process of Birur. Once the process is finished, then God himself is fully revealed on all levels. And there is no such thing as this whole masculine, feminine aspects of godliness all exist only for this process. Once the process is completed, then God himself is fully revealed and the Jewish people are no longer in exile. The moon is no longer smaller and darker. Everything reverts to its ultimate perfect state. So what Yaakov is trying to accomplish, after he finishes the process of Birur, what is he trying to accomplish? It says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. That Yaakov sent angels in front of him. So the Alter Rebbe explains the Torah, what does it mean in front of him, lefanav? Lefanav means to a level of which is higher than himself. He sent messages to Esav. Doesn't say Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav. It says lefanav El Esav. That he sent the angels in front of him to Esav, meaning that Esav represents a higher spiritual level. And Yaakov was sending these angels, so to speak. It means that he's sending word that he's ready to receive these higher spiritual revelations. Because he has already completed the process for which he had to descend into the lower levels and deal with Esav and Lavan and so on. Now he's ready, after that process has been finished, now he's ready for the revelation. So the Rebbe explains, and what is the ultimate revelation? The ultimate revelation is the unification of Esav and Yaakov, the lights of Tohu into the realm of the greater transcendent revelations into the finite existence as we know it. In other words, that whatever is contained within the higher source is revealed within the Mekabel. There is no longer a separation between Mashpia and Mekabel. But the source of all revelation is revealed within the world itself. So this unification is symbolized by the, as we said before, by the unification of the sun and the moon, Yaakov and Esav, or in Hasidic terminology, Er Makif and Er Pnimi, a transcendent revelation with an imminent, more internal revelation. So this is the process that Yaakov was trying to accomplish after he finished Birur, after he finished sifting out and refining Esav and Lavan. Now it's time for the revelation. And that's what he was focusing on, bringing about the revelation in the world. The problem was that Esav wasn't ready. Yaakov was ready. Esav wasn't ready. And as Yaakov says, I have to go slowly because of the children and the sheep, which means that the world, Yaakov, from his perspective, he was ready. The world itself, though, had not yet achieved a state of ready. So that's what Yaakov already went. So Yaakov informed Esau that when the world is ready, then I'm coming back. When the world will be ready, then I'm going to come and get you. Right now, you're not ready for me, so you go off, but there's going to come a day when I'm coming back and we'll get together again. So, at that time. So the Rebbe says, how does this relate to our times that we're living in now? So the Rebbe says that the times that we're living in now, the Jewish people have been involved in the process of Birurim in thousands of years. And we already have the divine service of all those generations, including the greater levels of divine service which were revealed after Yutuskus. And the divine service of all the Rabbeim following after them, all the way to the Avodah of the leader of our generation, who has already informed us and proclaimed that everything was done, everything was completed, the buttons have been polished. So if we, after all that, obviously, what we're doing now, if for some reason Mashiach is still not here, for some inexplicable reason, obviously what we're supposed to be doing now is not Birurim. Birurim is finished. 16 sparks from out of the physical realm, trying to separate out the godly potential that exists within the physical, we finished that already. So what's left? So the Rebbe says, obviously, just like we saw by Yaakov Avinu, what's left is that now, after the process of Birurim is completed, what's left is an Avodah which is geared totally to bring about the actual revelation of what we have already accomplished. That's what's left. So the Rebbe connects this with the Haftarah. This is alluded to in the Haftarah Parshas Vayishlach. In the Haftarah Parshas Vayishlach, we have the prophecy of Avadia, who actually was a convert that descended from Esau. And he describes there the destruction of Esau in the time of the ultimate redemption. He says the following. He says, V'hayim beis Yaakov Esau beis Yosef lahava, that the house of Jacob will be as flame, as a fire, and the house of Yosef as a flame, will be Esav Lakash, and the house of Esav will be as straw. The Dolku Vahem V'acholom, his fire and his flame will ignite the straw and will consume it. Lo Yisarad L'Veis Esav Ki Hashem Dibrei. There will be no surviving remnant of the house of Esav, because Hashem has spoken. And then he continues, V'yashua Negevis Har Esav, and so on, and then further on, V'golos Achel Azel Bnei Yisrael Sheknarim Atzarfas, V'golos Yishalayim Hashem Yisfarad Yerushua Yisrael Amek. That the exile, which has extended from the land of Canaan all the way till Tzarfas, and the exile of Yerushalayim, which was dispersed in Sfarad, they will inherit Arei HaNegev, which is where Esav is to the south of Eretz Yisrael. Olam Hashem Ba'atziyayin, the Redeemers will go up on the mountain of Tzion, Lishpat is HaRezav, to judge the mountain of Esav, HaHezav Hashem HaMelucha, and the kingdom will be to Hashem. So the Rebbe explains that in our generation, we are the generation of the house of Yosef, and we see that the process of refining the world, of elevating the exile, has extended. It's described that the exile from the land of Canaan extended all the way till Tzarfas. And the Rebbe says, why does Tzarfas represent the greatest distance from Eretz Yisrael? Why does Tzarfas represent the deepest, darkest exile? And the Rebbe doesn't go into so much into the why, that he does the next week's sefer. But what the Rebbe explains is that one thing we see, that Tzarfas represents a tremendous darkness, to the point that we find that Al Rebbe was afraid that Tsarfas, that France should not be victorious in its war against Russia. So obviously France represents a tremendous spiritual God. And in fact we find that it was one of the countries that, even though in later generations we found that the Rabbeim did visit France, but there was never any permanent establishment of the spreading of Hasidus in France. It was something that it happened on occasion, but it was not yet something permanently established. It was specifically the house of Yosef and of our generation, was specifically the fear of the Rebbe, and specifically after he came to America, that he established a Tanche Tmimim in Tzar. And the significance of establishing a Tanche Tmimim in Tzarfas means, whatever's saying, that this means that the lowest possible place, and the Rebbe says it wasn't just done in a way. By establishing Tanche Tmimim, what you're doing is you're not just spreading the wellsprings outward to the point that it reaches even the furthest place, that it reaches even France. By establishing a Tanche Tmimim in France, which the Friedrich Rebbe himself describes, that Tanche Tmimim, that particular yeshiva, is the most similar to Tanche Tmimim as it was in the town of Lubavitch. Of all the Tanche Tmimims around the world, the Friedrich Rebbe describes that Tanche Tmimim in France as being the most similar to the actual original Tanche Tmimim that was in Lubavitch. So the Rebbe says, in other words, that it's not just that the Mashpia is sitting in New York and his Ashpah is so great that it reaches, that even Tzarfas could be Mekabel. That's not the point. Because the whole process we explained of Mashpia and Mekabel is, as long as there's still a Mekabel, that shows that the process of Birurim is not completed. The process of Birurim is completed when the place which itself seemed the most furthest and distant and removed, the darkest place, actually itself becomes a source of light. It also becomes like the Mashpia. That the Mashpia and the Mekabel, that the darkest place within, the darkest spiritual place within our physical world, in itself not only is able to receive the light which goes out from the house of Yosef, as it ever refers to it, but it actually itself becomes a source of light. And that the yeshiva in France actually is spreading light from within France itself. It's not just receiving the light that's coming from here. So that is an expression of the completion of the process in which we have already achieved the point where the Birurim have been completed. And as the Rebbe says, the only thing left to do is to bring about the revelation in the world. The Rebbe also connects the fact that Tsarfas is Gematria of Tsarfas of France is 770. So the Rebbe explains that what the spiritual significance of 770 is, that there are seven midos with which Hashem created the world in 7 days, and each one of those can be broken down into 10 components, but the ultimate completion of the refinement of the midos is when they're actually broken down into, each one of those 10 components is broken down into another 10. In other words, that actually the finest details of every aspect of the midos, or as it relates to our physical existence, which was created in 7 days, is completely refined all the way down to the smallest details. So that is expressed by the number 770. So the Rebbe explains that number 770 is actually the number of the physical house of Yosef, of the Yosef of our generation. And it's specifically from there that the light, that the flame of the house of Yosef went out, and actually not only, as we explained, not only in a way that it was a source of light that was able to extend all the way to France, but actually to transform the place itself, that in itself becomes a source of light. So the Rebbe explains that in our time, after we've already gone through all of that, and the Rebbe explains the significance of the year Tashanum Beis, And we were ready, we're ready in the year Tavshin and Beis, and we already passed the full moon of the third month, and we're coming to the third day of the week in the third month, which was at that time Yitzchak Kislev came out on Tuesday. So the Rebbe says it's understood that the only thing that's left to do is to open our eyes and see the actual revelation. And the Rebbe clarifies in the footnote there, the Rebbe clarifies and says, previously what we said is that after the process of Birurim is completed, the next step is an Avodah which brings the revelation. Now what we're saying is that even that has been completed, and the only thing that's left is now to open our eyes and see the revelation. The Rebbe goes on to speak about the significance of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, and the fact that the Rebbe connects that with the fact that when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim follow the same custom, which the Rebbe associates with what we said, that the exile of Yerushalayim extended till Sfarad, till Spain. The Rebbe speaks in terms of the unification of Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. In other words, that there's no, that the various relationships that people perceive as some being in a position of Mashpia and some being in a position of Makabel, obviously is related particularly to France, because the overwhelming majority of those in France that were affected by 1015, as at least in our times now, are Sfaradim. But so the Rebbe, so the bottom line of the point of the Sifra is that everything's already been done, even the process, the Avodah which comes after Birur, which is to bring about the revelation, that has already been completed. The only thing that's left to do is open your eyes and see the actual revelation. And the Rebbe continues, and the Rebbe says, "Gonna get a ma'aseh u'ikar, ma'aseh b'peil, that you should organize the Chassidus Fabrangians in every city, in every town, in every neighborhood for Yitzchak Kislev." And the Rebbe says, "Not in a way that there's one central Fabrangian, and then there's all kinds of other peripheral Fabrangians, which is the way it always was in the early years. The Rebbe Fabrangian on Yitzchak Kislev. The main Fabrangian was the Rebbe's Fabrangian on Yitzchak Kislev." After Tavshin Mem Ches, it never stopped Fabrangian during weekday events, and only Fabrangian on Shabbos. He started Fabrangian every Shabbos, but he stopped in the weekdays. And the Rebbe says, not in a way that there's one central Fabrangian and a lot of smaller peripheral Fabrangian, but actually in a way that each Fabrangian becomes the main one. Each one is, in other words, that it shouldn't be in a system where it is Mashpia and everyone else functions on the level of Makabel, receiving the light from this central Fabrangian, but rather the whole point is that every single place should itself become like the source and be a source of light equal to like the original source of the light itself. And the Rebbe actually says an interesting expression which is not so common. The Rebbe says that everybody should set up, should Fabrang with themselves, which is something that is not commonly found, the concept of Fabrangian with yourself. Everyone should make Fabrangian with themselves, Fabrangian with yourself, your family, and ultimately with the whole Sviva. But here again, the Rebbe, in other words, the Rebbe is emphasizing the idea that the role is not supposed to be a role of Mashpia and Mekabel, but every person, every place is supposed to be a Mashpia in its own right. In other words, be totally connected to the Mashpia in such a way that it's not a way of a Makabel, but in a way that each person, each place is a Mashpia, is a source of light in their own right. And that is one of the ways that the Rebbe, we find that the point of the Sikha that the Rebbe comes to is that the only thing left to do is actually open your eyes. Because the revelation, we already even completed the process of bringing the revelation into the world. And then the Rebbe goes on to talk about each place being a source of revelation rather than a recipient of revelation. Each person and each place. So it would seem that the two concepts are connected. It's not just a sign, an indication that we've already completed the process. The fact that Sarfaz, or that each place can actually be like the Mashpia, the source of revelation, but that is actually part of the process of opening one's eyes. In other words, one of the reasons why what the Rebbe is telling us is that one of the reasons why we have problems seeing Geula is already here. One of the reasons why we have problems seeing the revelation is because we look at reality from the perspective of a Makkah. We explained earlier that the only reason why we see light as revelation really happens when the light is getting less is that there's a greater revelation of the source of the light. How does the Makabel able to appreciate the greater revelation of the source of the light? By being closer to the Mashpia and becoming one with the Mashpia, then the Makabel sees reality from the same perspective as the Mashpia and realizes is one with the source of the light and realizes that the source is where it's at and the light is only an external revelation which compared to the source is dark. So the reason why we look at the world and we see a world becoming darker and darker is because we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. We're looking at it from the perspective of a Makabel. And from the perspective of a Makabel, so all you see is more darkness. Less light means more darkness. But from the perspective of a Mashpia, if we realize and develop our keches as Mashpia and realize that our power to affect and influence the world rather than being influenced by it, and the same thing has to do with how we relate to the world. We look at the world, it's a big scary world, and what could little old me accomplish in this big scary world? What could I, how much effect and impact could I have? I'm just a little private person. So when we look at the world that way, we're the Makabel, and the world looks very dark and scary. But when a person is connected to the Mashpia, and is totally involved in the process of hashpah, of giving. So from that perspective, that is how one opens one's eyes and sees that the world is actually ready. It's when you're not out there. In other words, when even if you just take the topic of Mashiach, right? So there's a big conflict. What's the big conflict? Big conflict. Some people say the world is ready for it. Some people say the world is not ready for it. The Rebbe says, as soon as the world is ready, okay, we don't know. But some people say the world is ready for it, some people say the world is not ready for it. What's the difference? What's the difference in perspective? The difference in perspective is those who see themselves as having to go out and get things from the world. They have to sift out things, whether it's money or whether it's souls or whatever it is, that they're out in the world because they're trying to get something from the world. So those people look at the world, say, listen, I can't go out into the world and talk about Mashiach. They're not going to accept it. They're not ready. But the people who go out into the world and actually do it, and actually do talk to people about Mashiach, and actually do spread the knowledge of, and the awareness of Mashiach in the world, what they see is that people are ready. So everybody sees reality from their own perspective. But it depends on how you're related to the world. Are you relating to the world as a Makabel? Are you relating to the world as a Mashpia? If you're relating, and the same thing with the Rebbe, are you relating to the Rebbe as a Makabel? Or are you relating to the Rebbe as an extension, as a Mashpia, who's an extension of the Rebbe? Being that I am an extension of the Rebbe, therefore, and the Rebbe invested all his powers in me, therefore I have the same power. I have the same exact power. Not because I developed them or earned them, but because they haven't invested them in me. But if I go out and I look at the world that way, then I see the world totally different. I see a world which is ready for them. So the Rebbe says, if you're not seeing reality from my perspective, right? If you ask people, how could you say that the world's not ready? The Rebbe said it is. So he explained that the Rebbe is on a much higher level. From his perspective, the world is ready. We're on a much lower level. From our perspective, we have to deal with the reality. From our perspective, we see that people aren't ready to hear. And that's the problem. The problem is that you have a different perspective than what I have. Opening your eyes means that you're not supposed to have a different perspective than the perspective I have. We are now, until now, the way Hasidus explained this, we understood that a Rebbe sees reality from one way, and regular people who have lower souls perceive reality differently. because we have lower souls and the Rebbe has a higher soul. So the Rebbe sees reality from the top, we see it from the bottom. We perceive reality differently. The Rebbe is saying, if you are perceiving reality different than I am, that's the problem. The problem is that what I'm telling you is you're not supposed to be Mekabel anymore. You're not supposed to be a Mekabel anymore, you're supposed to be a Mashpia, you're supposed to be an extension of my reality. Not something separate which is receiving from 770, which is receiving from the Rebbe, but you're supposed to be an extension of the Rebbe in every single place and in our own lives, as the Rebbe says, by breaking yourself, and with your family, and in our families, and in the world at large. So it's not two separate points that are not connected. The Rebbe is saying that the only reason why there is a difference in perspective, the only reason why there is a problem, why people have in opening their eyes and seeing the reality, seeing Geula, seeing the revelation of God in the world, that God is more revealed, and there's infinite revelation in the world. The only reason why you can't see it, why people can't see it, is because they're still relating to the Rebbe, to God, to Bechlal in their ruchnistic life. They see themselves as Mekabel, and also when they go out into the world, they have to deal with the world. They see themselves as Mekabel. And because people see themselves as Mekabel, their perspective is, from the perspective of the Mekabel, it's only getting dark. It's only when you become an extension of the Mashpia, and you're completely unified with the Mashpia, and you see your whole role in existence as being a source of light, not being on the receiving end, and you relate to the world as a Mashpia, then that is the process whereby we actually begin to see and perceive reality from the true perspective. So the truth is that our experience in the world has to do with our approach to it. If we see the world as an ungodly place, it's because we see ourselves as Mekablim. When it relates to spirituality, we see ourselves as Mekablim when it relates to the world. It's only when we see ourselves as Mashpir and we see our role as just nothing that the world has to give me, there's nothing that I'm not on the receiving end, but I am an extension of the Mashpia, I am completely connected to it. And one with the Mashpia, then reality looks very, very different, and we actually see that not only has the process of Birurim been completed, but we actually have the actual revelation in actuality and in a revealed way, and obviously this is only the last step before we actually see the full and complete revelation in the most physical, tangible way, that not dependent on perspectives, but that every being and every person and all flesh will see the full and complete revelation of Malach HaMashiach.